Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody this morning? What a beautiful morning. Thank you, Ron. Blessed. That's the way we ought to answer every time, right? When someone asks us how we're doing, we should say blessed. We are blessed in many ways. We don't always take the time to stop and think about those things, do we? God gives us to us so much. His grace and His forgiveness as it pours into our lives and begins to form things around us. It should form us also as we look out into the world and we strive to let our light shine, to let the world know who that we belong to, right? By our love for one another, they'll know that we are His children. And this morning I want to share with you just a few things. And I do want to remind you that tomorrow night is Monday night for the Master, right? I have that correct, I believe. Yes. Monday night for the Master. Come, at least have dinner with us at 6 o'clock. Just come be a part. Let the office know that you're coming so that we have enough food. Come and enjoy the evening, and there's always opportunities for you to serve. But your service may just be to be there to encourage others at dinner. So come be a part of that and take that opportunity to share with us as a family. I want to talk to you a little bit about finding stability as a Christian. The world we live in is really something else, isn't it? There are always things going on that kind of throw us off. We're not sure which way to go and what to do sometimes, and how do we react to a world that is in turmoil always, right? And we find ourselves looking in different ways, in different places sometimes, not always where we need to be looking. You know, one of the fun things about being a youth minister for over the last 20 years, and I look back and I have over 20 years of full-time youth ministry, and that's pretty amazing to me. All the memories and all the things that come together. And you know, you get to do a lot of fun things with teenagers. Share parts of their lives that other people don't get to share, and touch them those lives in a way that a godly man can do his best at, even when he has his own faults. But it's been a real blessing. And one of those things that I've been able to do through the years is I've been able to go to some ropes courses with different groups. And one year we had about 170-something teenagers at this ropes course. And it's always fun because knowing those teenagers and watching them grow, there's always that one young boy who is so mouthy. You know what I'm talking about? We don't have any of those as sons, right? None of us have raised those kind of boys. And so you watch these kids and you got this one young man who's so mouthy and he's always picking on everybody else. Maybe you were the one who was picked on if you weren't that guy, right? And so you get on this ropes course and inevitably he fails. Or if he doesn't fail, he's going to be maybe somewhere in the top two or three. But what I always loved, it seemed like every time we went to these ropes courses, there was a young girl, about a freshman or sophomore, who would whip up on every one of those boys. Beat them right through the course. You know, and they'd always have a low rope. You know, you walk tightrope. You walk across on the ground, and you walk across that tightrope, and everybody, you know, falling off and getting back on. And it wouldn't be very long. But you'd have to, you know, if you fall off, you're supposed to go to the back, you know, and you always got those kids, I'm not going to the back, I'm just going on, you know. And here come this little freshman, sophomore girl, and she's just right down that rope, just leaving those guys behind. And she'll be standing at the other end, and it's usually a very humble young woman, and she'll be standing there just waiting for everybody to show up, you know. And with us one year, we had this young man, and he hit the end, and this girl, Tabitha, was standing off to the side, and he starts mouthing, I beat everybody, I won. I was like, look over there. And he's like, oh. You know? I think sometimes spiritual life is that same way. We look around, and those that we expect to be stable aren't always stable. And those that we might not expect to be stable in their faith find stability somehow. Right? I want to start with Philippians chapter 2, if you want to turn with me there. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. Do all these things without grumbling or disputing. I'm going to read that one more time because we need it. Do you have a Facebook page? Let me see how many of you have a Facebook page. Got a Facebook page? All right, this verse is for you. Okay? Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Does that sound like a choice? We need to apply that to our Facebook pages. That you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. The NIV says lights in the universe. I love that. That our light shines beyond the world that we can see, beyond the world that we can comprehend, when we are walking in the light with Him. Our light shines into a dark world that needs to understand the love of Christ and the forgiveness of Christ to a point that we can't even begin to understand. Holding fast, verse 16, to the word of life. Holding fast to the word of life. So that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. To strive, to do and become and be what I need to be as a servant, as a child of God, as one who has been redeemed and forgiven of all the mistakes that I've made in life. And yet sometimes I feel like we're trying to find that stability, right? And we miss it. And there ought to be some things that as Christians that we can look into God's Word and know this is where we can begin to find that stability, right? And sometimes I feel like our goal is to be like this, a tightrope walker high in the air with no problem, balancing whatever life comes after us. And I realize Keith Thompson's not very good at that. And I think, well, maybe it would be easier if I could try this, right? Just a few feet off the ground, I might try that before I would, let's see here. Before I would try this, right? I want to try that. And the reality is I probably look like that, right? Thank you, Steve. He knows the reality, right? Do we understand that, right? We want to be like this. We're trying this, and we look like this. And somewhere along the way, I have to realize by my power, I'll always look like this. Right? And so we need to find some place where we can look more like the first one. Today, I want to share with you a few things from the letter of Philippians to the church of Philippi in Macedonia. As Paul writes, and I want you to understand this before we get into it, as Paul writes the letter that is often called the letter of joy, he is writing it under house arrest near Rome, waiting for the opportunity that will never come to stand before Caesar. As a prisoner, he writes the letter of joy to the Philippians. Pray with me quickly, and then we'll get into it. Mighty God and Father, you are an incredible and awesome God. And Father, in our weaknesses, we often fail and fall short. Father, we long to find the stability as a child of God, a faith that will proclaim and shine our light into the universe, that we might truly become the aroma of Christ and the ambassadors to the world that is lost, that surrounds us. Father, watch over us, direct us, open our hearts and minds this day, that we might take these simple things and apply them into our lives. With every breath, help us to love you more. Help us to be devoted to gaining a knowledge of your word, that it might come alive within us through your Spirit. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I want to share with you just a few short things that I think that will help us to become more stable in our faith. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm. Stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. And so the first thing that he mentions here as he begins to close this letter of joy, as he begins to bring his thoughts to a conclusion, he is reminded of the fact that there are two women who have worked together for a long time. And yet there is something between them that has brought some friction and some misunderstanding. And he says, brother, bring these two ladies together and allow them to work it out. Allow them to find within their time together a unity in the Lord. And we have to understand that that's the kind of things that we struggle with, right? Today, there is no way that I'm going to ask you, if I asked you just out of the blue, we're going to redo the auditorium and get rid of the 1985 orange worn down carpet, okay? That we love, right? Yes, we love. Maybe not, but we're going to keep that good attitude, right? And so we're going to buy chairs or pews. Is that an important thing to have a fight over? Absolutely not. Chairs or pews? Because, brethren, I've been there. One of the congregations I worked for years past, it became a big issue. We're going to buy chairs or pews and so on and so forth, you know. And I remember one guy was so set against those chairs. He didn't want those chairs. My goodness, a pew's got to be more comfortable. And then after they bought new pews, and about 3 months after that, we went to a youth rally, and he went as a sponsor with me, and he sat in those chairs, and he looked over at me, and he nudged me in the middle of a song, and he said, you know what, these chairs really are pretty comfortable. I wonder sometimes why we let the little things get into our heads and give us such bad attitudes. I can't believe they do that. Why would they change the door locks on the church building? Well, if you don't know, come talk to me or Steve. We'll let you know why. Safety is the key. But why grumble and complain about those things? If you don't have all the story, just believe that we've done our best as a congregation to bring things forward, to be a blessing to each other in our lives, and leave those things alone and find that we understand, you know what, even if it irritates me a little bit, it's no big deal. Find the place where we can be unified for the future. We are one body. I hope if you know what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is all about, that you understand what 1 Corinthians chapters 11 and 12 are. I'm not even going to tell you. I started to tell you. I'm not going to tell you. If you don't know, if you know 13, you better know 11 and 12, because you don't know 13 unless you know 11 and 12. You've missed the whole point. To strive to be united as a body. Because when we are united as a body of Christ, there is nothing that can stop us from reaching the world that is on the outside of these doors. I bet many of you can quote this, can't you? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now this is a different version than what I rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say it's the same exact that I memorized it from. But we need to be a rejoicing people. When we come to worship on Sunday mornings, you realize this is your chance to come before the God who gave His Son for you, to present yourself before His throne and say, God, Father, I know what You have done for me and what You've given to me. I praise Your name. I give my heart before You to tell You that I love what You have done for me, and I am thankful for that. Mighty is our God who saves. And rejoice to put a smile on. Somewhere along the way, we've decided that reverence means I'm being reverent. Can't you be reverent and do this? My God, my Savior, who loved me and gave Himself for me, who redeems me and makes me whole. Worthy are You of everything that I have to give. Joyfulness in the Lord. Philippians 4:5, let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Now I need to share with you a couple of things here. It depends on your version. It may be let your graciousness. There are about three different words here used in different versions. The New American Standard says, let your gentle spirit. And it's this Greek word is actually used in four other verses, and it is translated gentleness. And I want you to know and understand that the ESV doesn't use that. It uses a reasonableness. I think that's one place where the ESV gets it wrong. It's a wrong translation. They're trying to be so reverent with that word that they've missed the point. Reasonable, yes, but gentle in that reasonableness. Gentle not just in your action, but gentle in spirit. Allow that to become who you are. This morning, studying with the teenagers, we take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 24, where David has an opportunity to kill Saul, and in the end, Saul says, oh, David, I made a mistake, forgive me. Just deal with me graciously when the time comes and you take the kingdom. And then he turns from that again, and he's hunting David again. And it's all about, while he was gentle in his actions in one point, it wasn't who he was on the inside. We've got to understand that when Paul says, let your gentleness, he means let what you are, who you've become, who you're supposed to be. Not just your actions. Be gentle in your person with the way that we deal with people. And I'll be the first to admit, I struggle with this one. I'm not always the most gentle person that I need to be. Let it be known to everyone because, why? The Lord is at hand. The day is coming soon that we will all stand before Him. Amen. For some of us, sooner than others. And we don't know who that is. 2 years ago, my wife came home and she was talking about one of the teachers that she worked with there. And she had come home and walked into the garage and found her husband standing in the corner speaking incoherently in his early 30s. A few days later, he passed away. Somewhere along the way, we have to realize it's not about tomorrow. It's not about what I will become tomorrow. It's about the efforts that I'm making today. Who am I trying to be today? Even when I fall, I get up and brush off and ask the Lord to forgive me and ask Him again, Lord, help me to be a man who rejoices and is gentle in spirit, who deals with my brethren in a way that brings them together in unity. And doesn't divide and doesn't upset. It's like going into someone's home, right? And you sit down and you eat. I've eaten in so many homes, I'm a little leery of that. You know, I've eaten a few meals that I with a smile, have choked down. Now, I actually haven't done that here in Sand Springs, believe it or not. But I've been some places like that. One of the churches I served for a while, that was the worst potluck meals I'd ever seen in my life. I love those ladies, but they could not cook. I wanted to nibble on this and that and run to the trash can while nobody was looking. But why do we do things? We do those because we want to be gentle with those who are around us. We want to rejoice with them, unite with them in spirit and heart, because the Lord is at hand. Whether we're young or old, we don't know when our day will come. I don't know if you're aware, but about a week ago, one of the seniors that our teenagers go to school with lost her life out here on Highway 51. We don't know when the Lord will call us home. And so we need to be gentle to build that foundation. Right? Philippians 4:5, do not be anxious about anything. And boy, there's something we sin about all the time, don't we? And I guarantee I'm number one. I'm anxious all the time, and I do my best to let go of it. And I will tell you right now, this morning, before I came, while I was getting ready for services, there was something that was eating me up, and I had to just stop and say, Lord, please forgive me for worrying about this and being anxious. I want to give it to your hands. But I'm having a hard time letting go. I'm having a hard time saying, Lord, that I trust you with the future. Do you have that? Or do every day you think, oh yeah, everything's perfect? When was the last time you got on your knees and just said, Lord, I need to give it to you because I can't do it on my own? Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, and I'm going to say this again because you know what? I hear our prayers, I hear my own prayers, and I'm telling you, we're failing. Gentlemen, now, take this gently. I'm saying this in love. If you lead public prayers in this building, when you come forward, we make our requests be not made. Can't even talk. My brain, my pea brain is outrunning my alligator mouth. If you've known anybody from Georgia, you probably heard that before. We make our requests to God with thanksgiving. How many times I have made requests to God without thanksgiving? And I need to be thankful when I lay my requests before Him. Let them be made known to God. Give it to the Lord. Because the reality is, you can't take another breath without His strength. Amen. The life force that is within you cannot survive on its own. There's an incredible, incredible ways that our medical technology has grown, the knowledge of our physicians, and we thank God for that. But they cannot give life back once it's been lost. Only God can give life. Now, they can repair us. They do a pretty good job. You realize doctors are nothing more than an auto mechanic? Is that not right? It is right. They're nothing more than an auto mechanic. Your life is not in their hands. It's in God's hands. Pray that He has the wisdom, or she has the wisdom, to do what she can for you. And thank God that they're present. And it's the same way with us spiritually. Thank God that our Father knows and understands everything that we are and everything that we need to be. That in these things that we can grow and become more every day if we put these things first in our lives. Right? That we give it to the Lord. Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Now, I want to tell you, the other day I was driving down the road and it must be a preacher thing, right? Because Elliot's confessed the same fault. You're driving down the road and somebody jumps out in front of you and cuts you off and does something kind of crazy and stupid. And the first thing you want to say is, well, bless his soul. Right? Bless his soul. I bet he's in a real hurry. Ladies, by the way, if you have a husband who tells you that he's unemotional, I'm going to use the words of a preacher I heard once, that's a lie from the pit of hell. If they're a golf player or you see them get cut off in traffic, right? Because in golf they'll say, oh my goodness, I guess I'm just not hitting the greens today. Right? Well, look at that guy. He's in a bigger hurry than me. I think I'll just slow down and stay out of his way. Oh, my goodness. Looky there. Looks like TU scored another touchdown on Oklahoma University. Of course, they're going to lose, you know, right? TU's going to lose, but they're going to score a touchdown or two on OU. Sorry, OU fans. And oh, my goodness, look at TU. They scored another one. Well, that was a really good job on their part, wasn't it? As I wear my OU Sooner shirt, right? Because that's the way we all react. Are we no, we're not unemotional. And when we claim to be unemotional as men, we lie and we tell whoever we're dealing with that, you know what, you're just not as important as my driving, my golf game, or my OU game, or my OSU game, wherever the Tucker boys are, right? And we get wrapped up in all these little things. Now, I tell you the truth, the other day when I was cut off, and I'm thinking, that idiot, he should have got up earlier. And then you know what my next thought was? If I'd have been thinking about Philippians chapter 4 on Sunday morning, I wouldn't have just had that thought. If I'd have been thinking about 1 Corinthians 11 or Romans 6 or 1 Peter 3 or whatever that you've been reading, and we've all been reading, right? Everybody shake your head yes so nobody sees you saying that, because we've all been in the Word reading. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, if there is anything worthy of praise, if there is anything worthy of praise. Put these in your mind. So the last thing that I have to share with you this morning is be mindful in the Lord. You understand what mindful means, right? Mindful, mindful. Mindful, mind filled, be mindful. If we can fill our minds up with what's right and what's pure and lovely and excellent, then we won't have to worry about all those thoughts all the time shooting through. Will Satan win every once in a while? Absolutely he will win. But it won't be as much as it has been lately. So we focus. And in these things, we begin to find stability. Now, if you notice the picture behind, right, what is that? What's the picture behind my words? Say it. Jenga, Jenga, however you want to pronounce it. Do you remember the first slide? Did you see it? I'm going to go all the way back. Tori, you're going to have to take me to the end when I'm done here, okay? Don't you feel like that sometimes? Don't you feel like that you've got all this weight up above and sometimes it's at the bottom. Things are beginning to get a little bit weak. And when we feel that way, our first choice, our first direction, our first decision should be, let me grab my Bible. Where's my phone so I can open my New Testament? Maybe the Psalms or Proverbs, because I need a little bit of wisdom. And then we begin to see that one build in our lives. A foundation that is laid with strength, that everything above begins to gain strength from it. Is your relationship with your children or your spouse lacking? Build the foundation. Are you struggling at work? Build the foundation. Does it make you want to cry when you set over your bills? Build the foundation. On the cornerstone laid for this temple, Jesus Christ. Then you'll find yourself finding strength when you thought you couldn't. When the world expects you to frown and be upset, you can stand and smile. Because His love is more incredible and more encompassing than they can begin to fathom. So this morning I'm going to ask you, Tori, you can jump forward. Go ahead and put up the first verse of the song. Follow with me. I'd like to stay here longer than man's allotted days and watch the fleeting changes of life's uneven ways. But if my Savior calls me to that sweet home on high, I'll live with Him forever in glory by and by. If you have need this morning, that we can help pray with you, to help strengthen you, help refocus you on the things you need to be focused on or to put your life on in Christ in baptism, won't you come as we stand and sing?
I'd like to stay here longer than man's allotted days and watch the fleeting changes of life's uneven ways. But if my Savior calls me to that sweet home on high, I'll live with Him forever in glory by and by. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing my story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more, no more to die. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. The end I know is nearing, by faith I look away to yonder home supernal, the land of endless days.